and welcome to Manx Radio's General Election Candidate Interview Series. I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm our election producer here. In September, you'll have the chance to decide who should represent you in the House of Keys. And to help you make up your mind, we're inviting all the candidates to take part in a 30-minute interview so we can find out who they are, why they're standing, and why they think they're the best person for the job. Today, we're hearing from Jason Moore, who's standing in middle. He's been speaking to Phil Gorn.
Falcheru gus rias cage and sheas feed. Today, I'm talking to Jason Moore, who's standing for the first time in the constituency of middle. And it's always a good way to start. Why do you want to be an MHK? What's your motivation for standing?
Well, I was going to stand 5 years ago, Phil, and professionally and probably maturely, I don't think I was ready. And I've spent the last 5 years watching the government, in my opinion, seriously go downhill, investing in the wrong things. In my opinion, the Ardman is falling apart, certainly over the last 5 years. There's been no direction in government. There's been no accountability in government. So I think now I'm at a time in my life when I can represent the people of the Isle of Man and hopefully give them a voice and some accountability in government as well.
And you know, the obvious next question then is, because people will want to know this, they'll be poring through manifestos or perhaps just having a casual glance at manifestos, but they will want to know, what is it so special about you? Why would they pick you over any of the other candidates?
I'm a proud Manxman, Phil. I've got strong Manx family roots here. A lot of my family grew up in Middle. My great-grandfather farmed in Middle for many years. And to be honest, there's not many Manx voices left in Tynwald. And I think the Manx people deserve a Manx voice that's going to stand up for them, that knows the Isle of Man inside out. Well, hopefully anyway, knows the Isle of Man inside out and, you know, can represent them fairly.
And, you know, I guess most candidates will say things like that. In terms of you, let's have a look at strengths and weaknesses. I mean, what would you say your weaknesses are, and how would you overcome them as you, assuming you get elected?
Good question, Phil. To be honest, it's one of them. I think I'll leave the studio and I'll think of a couple. And we've all got our weaknesses, don't be wrong. But I think off the top of my head, I think my only weakness at the minute is I don't live in Middle. Now, I mean, that's, you know, it's not a major issue. There's a few sitting MHKs that don't live in their constituencies. I've not spent that much time around Middle. And I think that may be a little bit of a weakness if I get elected. However, if I do get elected, you know, I'm more than willing to spend a lot more time in the constituency. I know a lot of people in the constituency, and, you know, I think that's probably going to be my greatest weakness, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. So then we move on to some of the things that you have said in relation to what it is that you want if you are elected. And you say that you love our island and we have some big decisions to make during the next administration that will affect us all, decisions that we can't shy away from and delay anymore. What are they?
Well, if you look at healthcare, for example, since Manx Care was incorporated in 2021, it's cost the Manx taxpayer over £1 billion, and that's going to be rising. Now, in my personal opinion, and I've spoke to plenty of people on the doorstep, Manx Care does not work. Now, I know plenty of people, their toes will curl at that statement, but it doesn't work. And I think getting rid of Manx Care and putting it back under DHSC will give the politicians a lot more accountability for it. And I'm not saying it was fantastic under DHSC. I think you'd struggle to find any health service worldwide that has a fantastic health service. But for £1 billion over 5 years, we've got a five-year wait to see a cardiologist. Now, I know a doctor who went to Kenya last year. So, the cardiologist wait in Kenya is 2 years. In India, it's 5-10 minutes. We're spending £1 billion and we're not getting £1 billion healthcare service for it.
So scrapping Manx Care then, if that's the answer, how will that make a difference?
Well, you take away you'll take away the wage bill from the Manx Care Board, and it's bringing that accountability back to the politicians. So you're not paying the top end management in Manx Care, and I'm not saying it's going to be fantastic. You know, there is going to be hurdles and there is going to be struggles along the way, but I think right now chucking money at the health service, there's an argument whether it's underfunded or over budget, I think bringing it back under DHSC, there's a lot more control of spending and there's a lot more eagle eyes in government that are looking at it. I think it'll be a better move than carrying on chucking money at Manx Care.
And, I mean, you say that, but in the past, before Manx Care, one of the things that always happened in the springtime, you know, the flowers started to appear, the cuckoos could be heard, and all the things that happen in the springtime, and the health minister would appear on an order paper asking for a supplementary vote because they'd overspent. So you know, prior to Manx Care, that things weren't that different.
They weren't, but I think, you know, and it's still, you know, the Manx Care are still coming back to DHSE and Tim Wald and asking for more money. And Tim Wald are voting it through, and there is a few politicians, not many I might add, that are challenging these decisions. But I think if you brought it back all under DHSC, you've got a lot more voice then in Tim Wald. You've got a lot more people that can scrutinise it and have a look at it. And I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. You know, I know there will be challenges and, you know, there will be bumps on the road. But I personally, and I would happily support a motion to dissolve Manx Care and bring it back under DHSC.
And again, in terms of that, I mean, should politicians have more say over how healthcare is managed? I mean, the whole point of establishing Manx Care was to try and make politicians a little more distant from that, because surely it's down to doctors as to, you know, how healthcare should be delivered.
I think politicians should have a lot more say in it, yeah. You know, where, yeah, well, politicians are elected to represent the people, and it's the people's service that is effectively failing. So I think if someone puts their trust in me, I think, yeah, I should have a look at the finances of the health system or Manx Care and be able to make that decision, yeah. I do. I think politicians should have a lot more accountability and a lot more say in it as well.
So how far does that go? I mean, can you, so for example, several of your constituents are waiting for a hip replacement, for example. Should you have the power then to interfere and say, actually, these need bumping up the list? Or is it more about the general way in which that list is managed?
I think it's more the general way the list is managed. I don't think politicians should get involved in individual cases, whether that be in your constituency or someone else's constituency, or, you know, your best friend or your mum or your sister. But I think, you know, the waiting lists are, when it was under DHSC, sorry, they were slightly less than what they are now under Manx Care. So since we started Manx Care, the cost has gone up, waiting lists have gone up. And I don't think politicians should get into the nitty-gritty of individual cases, but I certainly think they should be looking at waiting lists and doing the best they can. That's what we're elected for.
And again, in the times that the DHSC ran healthcare, waiting lists were pretty high. There would be waiting list initiatives. The waiting list would come down for a little while and then it would spring back up again. So, I mean, that's not really changed that much.
I think, I mean, I haven't got the figures with me today, but I think if you look at the figures, the waiting list figures when it was under DHSC, so pre-2020, if you look at the waiting list, or the waiting figures then compared to now, they are significantly raised. And let's say it wasn't perfect under DHSC. You know, I'm not going into Tim Wald, hopefully, with these rose-tinted glasses on. I know there's problems in the health service, and we always say, you know, it's the poison chalice. But you know, there's always going to be a waiting list, but they're certainly inflated now under Manx Care.
I mean, the truth of it is, if we want a really good healthcare service, we have to pay for it. And perhaps what Manx Care has managed to do is by divorcing politics from healthcare management, it is highlighted that if you want the service that you say you're wanting, you can't deliver it for the budget you've been offering.
Well, I think, you know, if we spent £1 billion, Phil, in 5 years, I mean, realistically, are we getting £1 billion health system? No, we're not. You know, that there's severe waiting lists, and that the way the hospitals ran, you know, and I'm not just talking from personal experience here, I'm talking to residents on the door and constituents on the door, you know, that the hospital is falling apart. And when the hospital was first built, it was one of the best in Europe. Now, I mean, it is falling. It's drastically falling apart, Phil. It is.
OK, I mean, you mentioned there residents that you, and you have been out canvassing for a few weeks now, what are the priorities that are being raised with you on the doorstep?
It is predominantly healthcare. Yeah, healthcare, and again, government spending, government accountability. You know, we've spent in the region of £100 million on a landing stage in Liverpool. You know, we spent 70-odd million pounds on the Manxman. Vanity projects, in my opinion. I think, over, like we said before at the start, over the past 5 years, the government has sort of let slip of what actually matters to the Isle of Man. Douglas Promenade, for example, I don't know if you've driven along there recently. It's horrific. And they've all, in my opinion, been vanity projects. And people are struggling. The food bank's never been so busy. And I think the past 5 years has just been spend, timbled, voting through these, extra budgets and whatever else, and for what, you know, the Isle of Man is drastically failing. And I fear that if something's not done in this election, in the next 5-10 years down the line, the Isle of Man will be very, very different to what it is today.
And I'll follow up a bit on that. You mentioned on your Facebook page that your commitment is to put the needs of our island first, not vanity, not waste, not short-term applause. I mean, do you really think that our current MHKs are vain, wasteful, and seeking short-term plaudits? I mean, presumably there must have been some pretty sound thinking that went into things like buying a new boat for the steam packet, sorting out the promenade, building a sea terminal in Liverpool.
I mean, there has been sound thinking, but if you look at the sea terminal in Liverpool, for example, we don't own the land that it's sitting on. So, spending £100 million, and I don't know if you've been through the sea terminal in Liverpool, but, I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of work that goes under the ground as well. Is it worth £100 million to look at and to go through it? I've been through it as a foot passenger and with a car. Certainly not worth £100 million. And costs go out of control. You know, it started off, originally it was going to be £75 million. Then, you know, Laurie Hooper a few months ago sort of poked the bear a bit, and we managed to get up to £100 million. Where's the money going, Phil? There's no one standing up in Tynwald at the minute, whether it be the Treasury Minister or departmental members. No one's standing up and challenging this, and it is a runaway train.
And is part of it, do you think, that they should be standing up sooner when they realise that budgets are getting out of control, and actually explain why things have shifted so dramatically from what was originally envisaged?
Absolutely. You know, if it was a private business, it wouldn't happen. It simply would not happen. Now, the Isle of Man, it should be run like a business. You know, the money coming in should be greater than the money going out. At the minute, it's not. There is a massive gap. And if it was to happen in the real world, per se, it wouldn't happen. You know, questions would be asked and people would stand up and challenge these things. But I think the last 5 years, no one's really done that. And I'm not saying no one's done it. There has been a few challenges from sitting MHKs that, you know, have stuck their head above the parapet and said, you know, hang on, something's wrong here. But collectively, Tynwald votes these things through, and then, you know, we're back to square one again.
I mean, you mentioned your top priorities are housing, healthcare and food security, but you've just mentioned there's a £100 million deficit in government income and expenditure. Surely that should be a top priority.
It should. I think if it's not addressed sooner rather than later, this place will be bankrupt. And I don't think people realise just how critical that is at this point. I don't know the exact figures, you know, I'm not in government, I'm not privy to that kind of information, but I've spoken to a lot of people who work within certain organisations within government, and they're all of the same opinion that this place will be bankrupt in 5, 10, 15 years' time. And I think if it does, and where we are in dire straits at the minute, we'll end up like the Isle of Wight with an MP sitting in Westminster who's never stepped foot on the Isle of Man. And once we lose that Manx identity, we will never get it back.
So how do you fix that? I mean, that particularly the issue in the imbalance in government finances, where income is substantially less than expenditure.
Well, I think just going to my food security, you know, every pound that's spent in the Manx economy is worth £1.83. I know it's not going to happen overnight, and it is going to take time. But I think government needs to stop all these projects that are, and I get it. You know, I understand there is capital projects that have to be done, but I think wasting, you know, long millions into Liverpool Sea Terminal, the Manxman, Douglas Promenade scheme, things really need to be kept under control, and that's not going to, you know, that's not going to reduce the £100 million deficit. But I think certain changes need to be made. And they need to be made quick, Phil, because this place is going to go under.
again, I'm going to press you a little bit more in terms of those changes. I mean, talking vaguely about big, grandiose schemes and what have you, I mean, I know it plays well on the doorstep. I probably used the same sort of rhetoric myself when I stood the first time, but actually the reality is quite different. I mean, are there any specific things about the way in which government does business that you would say, actually, that's one of the things here that we really do need to change?
I think the bloated civil service as well. I mean, that's not going to, that's not drastically going to change the deficit, but there is a seriously bloated civil service. And, in a few years' time, the pension pot, there's not going to be one effectively, is there, because it is going to cripple this place. So I think we need to strip the civil service out. There's a lot of civil service in government that tend, I wouldn't say not to do their job, I think that would be quite rude of me to say, but I think there's a lot of them that probably could do with, the civil service could effectively be cut down drastically in all departments.
And what would they have to stop doing if they were cut down drastically?
In what sense, sorry, Phil?
Well, I presume they're all very busy doing stuff at the moment. I mean, every civil servant that I've ever known is very, very busy. So what would they not do? Because they'd have to stop doing something, I presume.
Well, I think if you spoke to everyone, I think everyone would say they're very busy. We all like to say we're very busy. I think that the next 5 years, someone needs to go into government and actually seriously have a look at the civil service, at each government department, and see how many people are in each department and what they're actually doing.
Okay. Your priorities then, fixing housing, how are you going to do that?
So I think bring back government-backed mortgage schemes. There's nothing at the minute. I mean, government have they want young people to come back, they want young people to stay here, but they're not actively doing anything to retain the young people here. So reintroducing government-backed mortgages, I think personally would help not just the younger generation, but my generation. I'm 32, and I think helping my generation get on the property ladder as well. And also a use and ownership bill where you can't buy a property on the Isle of Man over a certain value and rent it out for a sky-high price, because that's what's happened over here at the minute. We have cash-rich investors buying property on the Isle of Man, renting out for a sky-high price. Young people are paying £1,200, £1,300, £1,400 a month rent, but can't get a mortgage. So I think reintroducing government-backed mortgages, give the young people a chance, give yourself a chance, Phil, get on the property ladder and help these people and people coming out of university, get them back here, get them settled and start a family and settle down here.
So why was government-backed mortgages stopped?
I have emailed several MHKs and I'm yet to receive a reply, to be honest, Phil. So when I do get a reply, I will happily share it with you, unless you know.
Well, it's not for me to answer the questions, but I just ask them. But yeah, I mean, those are two ways of fixing part of the housing problem, but would you not think about building houses?
There is houses to be built, yeah, absolutely. But I think, if you give these people that are in social housing a chance to buy a house, that would free up social housing, which there is a shortage of, and buying houses where some are affordable homes and some are social housing as well.
And, of course, by building homes, your constituency in particular will be under close scrutiny because, for whatever reason, I find it difficult to understand myself, but most people want to live and work in or around Douglas. So there will be, if we build more houses, there will need to be more land made available in your constituency for those houses. And yet, people say, actually, we don't necessarily want to see large housing estates.
Yeah, there's currently a large development being built just at Brown Bridge. I think phase one is due for completion in 2029. Phase two is due for completion in 2031. Nobody wants to look out their window and have a nice green field and then all of a sudden, in a couple of years' time, it's going to be a housing estate. But I think it's a bit of a catch-22. If we want the young people to come here, not just young people, if we need people to come to the Isle of Man, we're going to have to put them somewhere. And unfortunately, there's decisions have to be made in the next 5 years that are going to upset a lot of people, but we have to crack eggs to make an omelette, unfortunately.
Okay. I think we've dealt with healthcare pretty much. In terms of your food security ideas, what does food security actually mean? Because it can mean a whole load of things to a whole load of different people.
Yeah, I think, you know, each government department should be using Manx produce as much as they can, or if not, they definitely should be using it. Every pound that's spent in the Manx economy is worth £1.83. So I know myself working in government that that's not always the case, that Manx produce isn't used. So I think schools, government departments, everywhere across the board should really be pushing for Manx produce. Sometimes it may be a little bit more expensive than an alternative, but you've got to look at the bigger picture that it's worth more to the economy than it would be to buy in from the UK.
But again, the problem with saying that this is a must and it shall happen is that then automatically says to all Manx producers, government has to buy it so we can charge them whatever we like.
Yeah, I think, you know, if that was to be the case, I think talks would have to happen with suppliers. You know, you couldn't have suppliers charging £30 for a jar of honey. I think conversations would have to happen. But I do think that it's critical that government do something about it and do promote Manx produce and use it as much as and where they can.
And certainly government buying Manx food would help. But it doesn't solve all the food security problems, does it?
I wouldn't say it solves all problems, but it's certainly a start. You know, I think this government has been very lackadaisical about doing anything about the food security problem. And it was a big issue 5 years ago on the doorsteps. But realistically, what have government done over the past 5 years? It's a bit of a buzzword, you know, food security over the past 5 years, but nothing's... This government has been very stagnant on actually doing anything for the Isle of Man, and I think these talks need to happen.
So then we move down, in my question list at least, to, you mentioned about reform and how you would change healthcare, but surely things like infrastructure, government finances, environmental management, all these sorts of things... Are they important as well? Or?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, they're just my three main gripes of the island. I think, you know, if I'm elected in September, you know, the other 23 MHKs I'm working with, hopefully as a collective group, we can all look into these things. But, you know, I think that's the beauty of Manx politics. You know, it's all well and good being a one-man band, but you need everyone on side. Everyone's got different ideas. Everyone's got different priorities. And obviously, as you know yourself, each constituency has different issues. I've spoke to people on the doorsteps in Middle, and, you know, them three there are the main topics that are affecting Middle over the past 5 years. So they're the three main that I've picked. And I think come September and for the next 5 years, collectively, Tynwald needs to work together to solve everything with infrastructure and everything else. Yeah.
So 24 members of the House of Keys got elected last time talking about a housing crisis. How well did that work?
Well, it didn't, did it? You know, we're still in the same position 5 years down the line. And again, I keep saying it, we've just been stagnant over the past 5 years. Healthcare reform wasn't so much of a big topic 5 years ago because Manx Care just started and it was fantastic. Over the past 5 years, that's dropped. So I think now that's a big issue on the doorstep, and accountability, that was again a big issue 5 years ago, and that's sort of been by the wayside. And but the housing side of it, I think 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that's always been a contentious issue. But nothing's actually getting done about it. And I'm not saying, you know, I've said to people, plenty of people on doorsteps, I'm not going to go into Tynwald with rose tinted glasses and think I'm going to change the world, because that's not how it works. You need to go in there with a good idea and work collectively together, but something needs to change, and something needs to change quick.
So why is it, do you think, that members of the House of Keys haven't been able to significantly shift the dial on housing, particularly when they were describing it as a crisis 5 years ago?
If you look at Alf Cannon's island plan 5 years ago, you know, he wanted to increase the population to 100,000, and then I think it was last year he said no, that wasn't correct, even though it was in his island plan. But I think the government come up with these fantastic ideas but don't actually look at the infrastructure. Now, if you take Peel, for example, Peel has grown drastically over the past 10, 15 years, but the infrastructure's not changed. The school's still the same size. The doctor's surgery is still the same size. So I think, you know, the politicians have these fantastic ideas, but don't look at the bigger picture. I think it's very much a snap decision. Let's get the population to 100,000. Well, then you sit back and you think, well, hang on, how are we actually going to do this? And they are building houses, as we say. You know, there's been a housing estate built in Peel. There's been one getting built in Braddon. There's one being built in Ballasalla. But I don't think government actually look at the bigger picture ahead. I think they just make these snap decisions and then sit back and think, oh, actually, you know, we shouldn't have done that.
What are the three things you would change if you are elected, in particularly in Middle on this occasion?
I've spoke to a lot of people in Middle. As a constituency, there's not actually that much that people want to change. I think the constituency itself runs very well. I've met with Commissioners Moran and Braddon. I'm yet to meet with Sutton. They have no major issues as such with the constituency and with the parish. I think it's more within government that they're not happy with.
So there's nothing needs changing in Middle?
I wouldn't say there's nothing that needs changing, but certainly the people I've spoken to so far have not mentioned any major gripes. I think that the roundhouse has popped up a couple of times purely because of the price, not for what it is. I think people like it for what it is and enjoy it for what it is. I think that was more the price to the rate payer than what it was anything else. But yeah, certainly, you know, I'm yet to head into Moran and Crosby, but I've met with the commissioners. I mean, some of their information will be quite confidential, but they've not raised any major issues with me. They've not given me a sort of nod and said, oh, you know, this is might be an issue. Or, and certainly in Braddon as well, I met with Braddon commissioners and they said, you know, the roundhouse is a bit of a thorn in their side, but you know, that's more the cost than anything. And like I say, I'm yet to meet with Sandon commissioners, so I'm sure there will be things that will need changing within Middle, but as far as I know so far, there's nothing major.
Okay. Let's try this one. Is there any of the current MHKs, or indeed previous MHKs, that really inspire you?
There is, yeah. I don't know if you'd be happy that I've mentioned him on air, but Peter Caron, he was quite, you know yourself, Phil, he was a bit of a, once he had an idea in his head, he sort of pursued it, and he was a good Manxman as well, and I think that's what Tynwald's been missing over the past few years, is these sort of Manx stalwarts in Tynwald. You know, we had like yourself and Peter Caron and Donald Gellin, proud Manxmen that wanted the island to work, and I think that's seriously, and I'm not saying the politicians that we have now don't care about the island, but I think we're missing Manx voices in Tynwald and a Manx voice for the Manx people.
In terms of your priorities, I mean, you've said that there are three that big priorities: health, housing, and I can't think. What was the third one?
Food security.
Food security. Yes. If you had just one choice by the time you've left politics, what's the one thing in 5 years' time, assuming you're elected, that you will have will say actually? If you were going again for another 5 years, or indeed if you were just asking people to judge you, what's the one thing that you'd want them to have judged you on in that 5-year term?
I would say housing. Housing or healthcare. I'd probably pick housing. I want people to settle down here. I want the Isle of Man to flourish. I want people to settle down here and call this place home, because we are lucky to call it home. And I want people to come here, feel at home, be able to afford to live here and settle down here, start families here, yeah. So probably housing, yeah.
Okay. And why do we need MHKs? You know, presumably things could just tickle along nicely without an MHK. Why do we specifically need an MHK?
Well, if we didn't have government, what would we have? So I think, and there's always that argument, do we need 24? That's a bit, again, I've got two sort of voices on my shoulder. I think, if people say, oh, we only need 12, but I mean, out of them 12, if you take it down, by the time you take council ministers out, you don't have, I think you're left with 3 or 4 to scrutinise council ministers. I think we need MHKs to give people a voice, to, you know, we are very approachable. Well, say we, if I'm elected in September, we'd like to think we're very approachable. You know, it's not like the UK where, you know, you go to your local pub and you see your MP sat there. I think the Isle of Man is very unique, and I think we need to carry on that Tynwald legacy as well. Yeah.
Well, we are almost out of time. We've only got probably less than a minute left. Tell us in a nutshell why people should vote for you.
I'm young, I'm keen, and I want this island to work. I'm a proud Manxman. I've grew up here all my life. I've got very strong Manx roots. Like I say, I want this island to work. I love the Isle of Man, and if I'm elected in September, I will work not just for the Isle of Man, but for the people of Middle to make this island a better place for us all to live.
That was Jason Moore, who's standing for election in Middle. Also standing in the constituency are Alf Kane, Jane Poole-Wilson, Andre Risher and Simon Sinclair. You can listen back to this interview, along with all the others recorded as part of this series, shortly after broadcast from your usual podcast provider. And as always, everything you need to know ahead of Thursday the 24th of September is on our dedicated election website, which you can find at manxradio.com.